As if in answer to his question, the tunnel around them seemed to vibrate through its very center. This grew more intense in a matter of seconds until the floor was shaking beneath their feet.
Dark night!
The tunnel wall in front of JB began to disintegrate in a shower of powdered concrete.
Fire blast! What the hell's happening?
Ryan tried to keep his footing. The vibration continued to shake the floors and walls, crumbling everything around them. A light concrete rain suddenly made visibility difficult and painful as the abrasive mist scratched at their eyes. In the confusion, it was almost impossible to tell exactly what was happening. One thing was for sure, they needed to regroup and stick close together. Dean and JB, who had wandered farthest from the formation, began to make their unsteady way back toward the others.
Surely we have not come this far to fall prey to something as simple and neutral as an earthquake.
Mildred knew exactly what Doc meant. It crossed her mind. They had taken and fought their way past so many man-made obstructions on their path, so many who'd wished to chill them, that it seemed as though the scales of justice were unfairly tipped for them to take their last bow at the mercy of the earth itself. Mildred quickly moved closer to the pack, finding herself beside Jack as JB and Dean closed in. Doc, Ryan, and Christy stood a few yards away. A crucial few yards. The earth rumbled around them. The stressed steel girders supporting the concrete pillars began to sing and screech with torsion as they began to bend within the concrete itself. The large gaps in the surrounding walls that had seemed hairline cracks a few minutes earlier began to become gaping maws. The hurried repair to the walls that they'd passed before fell tumbling to the shaking floor and broke into a myriad of pieces that danced across the unsteady surface.
Try to stay on your feet. Move toward the next level. Maybe it's localized.
All the companions knew that it was grasping at non-existent straws. The vibration's intensity here was such that it was highly unlikely to have abated if they could make their way up the sloping tunnel to an upper level. The earth shifts were stronger the deeper you went, but this was too harsh to suddenly drop away in an ascent of less than 100 feet. Assuming they could make any progress at all before the shifting rocks caved in the redoubt tunnel, every step forward seemed to take them 3 steps back as they tried to move on the unstable floor. JB led the way. The inclines were relatively gentle to allow the internal use of some maintenance vehicles, so their ascent would be of necessity slower than by the elevator, which was useless in the current circumstances, or by the emergency stairwell, which they didn't have time to find. Jack and Dean were at JB's heels. Mildred hung back and stopped for a second to look behind. Vague awareness hitting her that she could hear or feel no one immediately to her rear. Christy and Ryan were some way behind, helping Doc, who lost his balance and crashed to the tunnel floor.
Come on, old man!
What in Dante's Inferno do you think I'm doing?
Hoisting him with a hand under each of his arms, Ryan and Christy had propelled him forward. Thus, Doc was coming toward Mildred at some speed. His balance still looked precarious, and Mildred took another step toward him in order to try to steady him. Although she gave him a hard time and could be exasperated by his wandering mind at times, Mildred had a grudging liking for the older man. Perhaps because he, like her, represented an earlier age set adrift, and they were both strangers in this strange land. Doc was a few yards from her, keeping his balance well, the intense concentration showing on his face. Mildred was focused on him. Neither of them noticed that the nearby wall was suddenly beginning to break up, with a spiderweb pattern like cracking glass. Mildred felt a sudden rush of air almost simultaneously with the hail of tiny concrete shards that sailed across the breadth of the tunnel, completely obscuring Doc from view. She saw nothing but gray and darkness.
Doc!
Shards flew out from the main cluster and hit her on the head and upper body. She felt a numbing blow on her face and stinging on her hands. Blood streamed down into her eyes, a superficial scalp wound. And the blood was now making it almost impossible for her to see. Her torso had been protected by her fatigue jacket. She had felt the concrete chips rip at her clothing, but they caused no pain. She moved her arm to wipe the blood from her eyes and realized that everything seemed to be moving in slow motion. She was even thinking in slow motion. A cold wave of nausea and fear swept through her gut. The blow had affected her more than she had originally thought. The physician suddenly realized that she was lying on the floor, concussed just enough to slow her actions to a possibly fatal degree. The tunnel was vibrating much less, as though the pressure had been released by the sudden explosion. The mist cleared for a moment as Mildred wiped her eyes, and she thought that the blow had to have rendered her mad, as well as concussed. For Doc Tanner, too, the sudden concrete hail had come as a shock. One moment he'd been moving toward Mildred, the next he was flung backwards as though he'd run straight into a wall. The stray shards came down like an abrasive rain shower over his face and body, plucking at his clothes and breaking his skin in several places. The wind knocked solidly from his body, he collapsed to the ground. He hadn't been quite as near the point of impact as Mildred. Nonetheless, time did seem to run a little slower than he'd expected as he tried to gather his thoughts and marshal his actions. When he looked up and saw what had made the impact, he truly believed for one second that he had lost all possession of his senses. For the thing that both Mildred and Doc saw from their prone positions was quite unlike anything that either of them had ever seen. It was moving quite slowly. It was immense, possibly 15 feet in diameter, and with pale and almost translucent flesh that seemed to move independently in every part. The smell of the oozing mucus that covered every part of its flesh was intense within the tunnel. Even though both Doc and Mildred had decided to breathe as little as possible while it was crossing the floor, the giant, muty creature seemed to be some kind of earth or sandworm. In the glistening ooze, large ring segments could be distinguished, and an open maw with teeth that were double-rowed around the almost perfect circle of its mouth. The thing had obviously been burrowing through the earth, and the tunnel of the redoubt was just a tunnel that crossed its path. Now they knew the reason behind the badly repaired tunnels behind them, and the giant worm's casts had obviously also been used to help block the gap and seal it. As the mutant creature turned its front end, showing its teeth and maw, it was an awesome and appalling sight. It seemed to have no eyes, but had to surely have some kind of sensory equipment.
Holy shit!
Standing behind Doc, Ryan and Christy instinctively raised their blasters. On the other side, Dean, Jack, and JB had done likewise. It was a tense waiting game. Would the worm attack, or would it just move on, sensing no threat to itself? The stench grew overpowering in the suddenly cramped confines. Its body heat sizzled in the tunnel. The worm was still partially in the hole in the wall, leaving them with little idea as to its actual length. The oozing mucus would leave a trail in the creature's wake, and the clear, viscous fluid was spreading out from beneath it toward Mildred and Doc. JB and Jack held their fire, the armorer drawing in his breath as he watched the creature turn its head. JB was hoping desperately that it wouldn't sense Mildred and attack.
Come on, move, you bastard.
Seeing the creature move its front end her way, and still not fully in control of her faculties, Mildred scrabbled backward, trying to escape from the mutie's maw. If she'd been 100%, she would have remained still, hoping the sightless creature wouldn't have noticed her presence. But the woman was still dazed, and a deep-rooted fear took hold. So lifting herself on her arms from behind, and taking purchase on the floor with her heels, she scuttled backward, crab-like. The noise and movement seemed to attract the attention of the giant mutie. The maw moved downward toward Mildred.
Oh, no, you don't!
Dean raised his Browning high-power blaster and snapped off two shots toward the mutie's maw. The slugs hit home, thudding into the viscous mass of the creature. It reared into the air so that it took up the whole of the tunnel, its foremost extremity brushing against the roof of the concrete construction.
Hot pipe! That should have taken out its brain!
Who says it has one? We need to hold it back while Millie gets away.
Even as JB spoke, the armorer raised the barrel of his Uzi, flicking to rapid fire and bracing the stock against his body. His legs spread to anchor himself to the floor. He sent a stream of hot metal into the beast's body, and it rippled with a wave of impact. It thrashed its head, moving slightly backward, and enabling Mildred, still scrambling toward them, to get some distance between her and the giant mutie. Jack and Dean took their shots with care. Dean aimed for the creature's open maw, looking to place more shots within the beast. Jack took the end that disappeared into the tunnel wall, looking to rip holes in it with the slugs from the .357 Magnum Colt Python. The creature was clearly enraged. It reared back under the initial impact, then ignored the repeated hits about its body and began to slither toward JB and the others. Mildred now joined them on her feet, directing shots from the ZKR toward the beast.
Glad to have you back, Millie.
Uh-huh.
JB wondered if a grin tossed into the maw would disable the creature, but had no idea where Ryan, Christy, and Doc were on the other side of the beast. The last thing he wanted was to bring down part of the corridor along with the mutie, thus blocking them off. On the other side of the creature, Doc had regained his feet and had retreated a few steps to be nearer to Ryan and Christy as the Mutie moved in the opposite direction. Although it blocked all view of anything on its far side, the noise of the blaster fire in the direction of its movement made it totally clear what was happening.
Too risky to use a grin. Could bring down the whole corridor.
Then what, lover? We can't leave them behind.
No, but we can distract that bastard. Maybe drive it back into its hole if it doesn't know where to turn.
The one-eyed warrior holstered the Sig Sauer and unslung his Steyr. As Ryan loosed a round from the rifle, Christy began to fire steadily with her Smith & Wesson revolver, while Doc gave the creature a charge of shot. Attacked on both sides, its flesh irritated and torn, the confused giant worm began to turn toward Ryan's group before another wave of fire from the other side made it swing around again. Each side poured round after round into the creature, cursing it for the waste of every precious shell, but knowing that there was no other way to defeat it. Still turning from side to side, the creature began to quickly slither back into its hole, its maw the last thing to disappear. The companion ceased fire as the corridor gave a little shudder at the creature passing back into the rock from whence it had come. Finally, both sides could see each other once more.
Shit! Don't want that sort of trouble too often. Bet you're pissed at losing all those rounds, John.
We're not too bad. I kinda hope whoever's been here hasn't cleaned out the armory, though.
Maybe no sooner than want. Here's someone on move.
How far, Jack?
2 levels up. Coming fast now.
Jack's eyes shut tight as he listened carefully for noises that the others couldn't detect.
And I don't think they're especially friendly, lover.
Christy's hair was curling tightly to her neck and scalp, detectable even as Ryan watched. JB had been pondering as this exchange took place and turned to Ryan.
If this redoubt is like the others, then the armory and dispensary are 2 floors up, and the next level is where the dorms and showers are.
And the kitchens.
Great! At least we can try to beat them to death with a cooking pot.
How much ammo we got, JB?
The armorer looked into his canvas and leather bag, which contained the companion's spare ammo and grins. Ryan knew what the set look on the armorer's face meant before the man even mouthed the words.
I'd say we've got enough and a decent firefight to last us about 5 minutes before it's all used. We need to find an armory of some kind, or else chill those cold hearts up there with every shot counting.
But we've still got the grins. What do you think?
JB looked up at the tunnel ceiling, turning his head with a slowness that seemed somehow overly luxurious when an enemy was so near.
Can't risk the grins down here. There's too many cracks already in the walls. And if there have been a shitload of those worms crawling through here, then the whole area could be shot through like wormwood. One grin in the wrong place, and the only chilling there will be our own.
Guess that settles that. The amount of firefighting we did with that Mutie worm bastard, they're gonna know we're down here. This has got no cover at all, so let's get going. Shape up, people.